Today's shiur is Masechta Megillah Daf Hey, and we will begin on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, nine lines from the bottom. Kol Ish Sheyesh Levest Da Yeshato. We learned in the Mishnah, we've been discussing the machlokes of Shammai and Hillel and the Chachamim, where a woman had an emission and she's not exactly sure when it happened. The opinion of Shammai is Da Yeshato, that we only consider a Tamei moving forward, not retroactively. The opinion of Hillel is that she is tamei retroactively, only consider a tahor at a time when we could be certain she was tahor. That means the last time she made a bedika. And according to Chachamim, we go back either to the last bedika or to 24 hours, whichever is the shorter period of the two. But our Mishnah taught us that if there's a woman who has a veset kavua, as we discussed, women have a veset, women have a time when they are expected to see their period. And the Mishnah taught us that a woman who has a veset kavua, that has a specific time when she is expected to see her period, there everyone agrees, dayashata, that we only, that when she's tamei, she only as Tamei moving forward, not retroactively. And when we learned the Mishnah, we explained that the opinion of the Chachamim, that the reason why a woman who has a Veset Kavua is treated differently, we actually learned two possible explanations. One is that such a woman at any other time is considered Musalekas Tamei. She's considered a woman that doesn't have dam, that is not possible to become tamei. Or another pshat that we saw is that a woman who has a veset kavua, we say oirich bezmanoi bo. We expect the dam to come only at an expected time, at no other time. So it begins the Gemara. Leva masnisen. So the Gemara wants to suggest that our Mishnah, Rab Dosa Hivalei Rabbanan, follows the opinion of Rab Dosa, not the Rabbanan. The Tanya, as we're going to learn, Rab Elezer, Omer Rab Elezer is of the opinion, Arba Noshim Dayashatan. There are four women that under all circumstances, when they become Tamei, we say they only become Tamei moving forward, not retroactively. Besula, a woman who never saw Dam, and as the Mepharshim explained, this woman is a married woman. But even though she's a married woman, she is a woman that has not seen Dam. Muberes is a woman who is pregnant. And as we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn, she is noticeably pregnant. Menika, a woman who's nursing a child. And Zakena, and a woman who no longer has a period. And as we're going to learn, that means a woman who's missed having a period three times. All such women, if they see Dam and they can't specifically identify when they saw the Dam, the halacha is dayashata, that they only tamei moving forward, not retroactively. Rav Dosa says, Kol Ish Sheyesh Lo Veset, any woman who has a veset kavua, that she has a specific time when she is expected to see Dam, by her we say Dayashata, she's only tummy moving forward, not moving backwards. There's a machloikis in the Rishonim, if Reb Dosa is disagreeing with Reb Elezer, or Reb Dosa is actually adding to the list of Reb Elezer. Reb Elezer spoke about these four women, and Reb Dosa now says that it's not just these four women, but it's any woman that has a veset kavua. Furthermore, as is very clear in the Gemara, the Rabbanon, the Gemara says, disagree with Rav Dosa. We're going to learn exactly what is their disagreement, but clearly they disagree. The question is, however, who are the Rabbanon? Some Rishonim suggest that the fact that the Braisa mentions the opinion of Rav Dosa clearly seems to indicate that Rav Dosa is arguing with someone, even though they haven't been identified. Others say that Chazal were aware that there's someone that disagrees with Reb Doisa. And now the Gemara begins to try to analyze who are those Rabbanan that disagree with Reb Doisa and what is their opinion. And the Gemara is assuming that it is only Reb Doisa who holds this concept of Dayishata, that a woman with a Vesa Kavua Dayishata. The Rabbanan disagree with that din, and therefore our Mishnah will be following the opinion of the Rabbanan. So the Gemara, no, I feel the time Rabbanan. Our Mishnah could even be following the opinion of the Rabbanan. Because Ad Kan, Le Pliga Rabbanan Le Reb Doisa, when did the Rabbanan disagree with Reb Doisa? Only Shaloi B'Shas Festa, which means we have a woman who has a Veset Kavua, but she saw dam not at the time that she's expected to see that the dam. That's where we have a machlokes, how to treat her. Is she tame retroactively, or is she only tame moving forward? Reb Doisa says she's tame only moving forward. The Rabbanan hold that she's tame even retroactively. And what will be their machlokes? So the Cheshek Shloim explains, Reb Doisa is of the opinion that since this woman is a woman with a Veset Kavua, so even though she clearly had now an emission not at the time that she's expected normally to see, that's considered an onus. It's considered something out of the ordinary that we shouldn't pay attention to. And the Rabbanan say, no, the fact that she saw dam Shloi B'Shas Vesta makes her to be treated like all other women. Al B'Shas Vesta, if she's a woman who has a Veset Kavua, and she saw the dam at that time, Moidalei, the Rabbanan will agree with Reb Doisa, that such by such a woman we say Dayishata, and if that's the case, Masnisan B'Shas Vesta, we could explain that our Mishnah is speaking about a woman with a Veset Kavua, who saw the dam at that time, and therefore the Divrei Hakol, our Mishnah will be following the opinion of both the Rabbanan and Reb Doisa. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to understand the opinion of Rabbanan and Reb Doisa, it will turn out, Mechal Reb Doisa, Afil B'Shloi B'Shas Vest Amar. Reb Doisa is more lenient than the Rabbanan, will have to say that not only is a woman with a Veset Kavua, if she sees them, B'Shas Vesta, do we say Da'ishata? But the woman, he's going to hold that even the woman with a Veset Kavua, Shloi B'Shas Vesta, will also be Da'ishata. Mechlal, the Reb Doisa, Afilu B'Shloi B'Shas Vesta. Reb Doisa is going to be saying his halacha, even when it's not Shas Vesta. If so, ask the Gemara, Man Tana Lohad Tana Rabbanan, who will be the Tana of the following Braisa? The Braisa says, Ish Sheish Levest, if a woman has a vest, Kisma Tamil Afrei. We know there's a concept of Kesem. Concept of Kesem is that if a woman finds dam, finds a stain on her undergarments, finds a stain on her linen, that says the Braisa, that she's Tamei retroactively. And the definition of retroactively is until the time that we know that this undergarment or these linen were clean. And as the Rishonim point out, that even though we've been learning in our Mishnah that by Ariyah, the Rabbanan hold that she's only Tamei for 24 hours retroactive, by Kesem, everybody will agree that she's Tamei back to when she could be sure that it was clean. Ish Shesh Leveset, Kisma Tamil Afreya, She'im, Tira Shloi B'Shas Vesta, if she's a woman that had seen dam Shloi B'Shas Vesta, she would be Tamei Meslais, should be Tamei retroactively with a Ria 24 hours back. So Neima, it seems that Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbanan V'lo Reb Doisa. Because this Braisa clearly indicates that a woman who has a Veset Kavua, but saw dam Shloi B'Shas Vesta, will be Tamei retroactively for 24 hours. And we're saying now that according to Reb Doisa, such a woman will not be Tamei at all retroactively. Says the Gemara, no. So the Gemara goes back. and says a feel tamer of dosa. No, that brisa could follow the opinion of dosa. Because at can look pelag of dosa lay the rabbanon. Rabbanon and Reb Dosa disagree only b'shas festa regarding a woman who has a vesef kavua and sort of dam at that expected time. Av shloi b'shas festa, if the woman has a vesef kavua, but she saw dam not at the expected time, moidalahu. Reb Dosa and Rabbanon will all agree that that woman is tummy retroactively. Umasnis in the Mishnah that says that if she sees dam b'shas festa, the halacha is da'ishata, will be following the opinion of Reb Dosa. So we have here a very interesting phenomenon, which the Gemara immediately picks up on. The Braisa, and therefore the Braisa that takes this strict opinion, will be following Divrei Hakol. That means our Mishnah that's Meiko by a woman who has a vesed kavua and saw the dam at that time, the Dayishata, will only be following the opinion of Reb Dosa. The Braisa that says that a woman who has a vesed kavua but saw the dam not at that time will be following, that she's tamei retroactively, will actually be following everybody's opinion, both Reb Donan and Reb Dosa. So the way we've explained today's, the way the Gemara has gone back and forth in today's shir is as follows. The Gemara first assumed that Reb Dosa and Rabbanan disagree regarding a woman with a vesed kavua and saw the dam at that time. Then the Gemara said no, that if at that case everybody will be makel, everybody will be lenient. And now the Gemara is again turning back and saying that no, b'shas vesta, there is going to be, Reb Dosa is lenient and Rabbanan are machmirin. If it's shloi b'shas vesta, even though she's a woman with a vesed kavua, such a woman will, everybody will agree, is tamei retroactively. So obviously, ask the Gemara, look, as we just said, there have been two ways of explaining the machlokes or doser and the rabbanim. And we've taken, and the Gemara has taken, the more stringent approach to this machlokes. Ask the Gemara, look, why don't we say the more lenient explanation? Answers the Gemara, we could take a lenient explanation, or we could take a more strict application. We take a stricter application. So of course, the Mefarshim try to understand what is the Shakra Vatari in this Gemara, that the Gemara has been going back and forth. First the Gemara assumed a stricter interpretation, then the Gemara assumed a more lenient interpretation, and now the Gemara goes back to a stricter interpretation. So I saw that the Mefarshim explain as follows. The Gemara began with the assumption, which it seems to be the Pashup Shat, the Reb Dosa and the Rabbanon are arguing. That's how the simple reading of their opinions seem to mean. Then the Gemara said, but no, maybe we should try to come up with a way that they shouldn't be arguing, that our Mishnah should be able to follow not just the opinion of Reb Dosa, but also the opinion of the Rabbanon. And that's what the Gemara attempted to do. But then the Gemara saw that it won't, that even if we'll be successful in explaining that our Mishnah follows the opinion of both Reb Dosa and Rabbanon, that won't help us in with the Braisa. The Braisa will clearly indicate that there's a Machloikis. And once we're anyway going to say that there's a Machloikis, so it makes sense to say that the we take the more strict interpretation, which will indeed create that the Mishnah represents, the din of the Mishnah only represents the opinion of Reb Dosa, not the opinion of the Rabbanon, but at least the Braisa will represent both of their opinions and will have a stricter interpretation. But then ask the Mefarshim the obvious question. This entire issue that we have been discussing about retroactive Tumah or Tumah moving forward is obviously only a Tumah de Rabbanan. Because as we've been saying in our shiurim, in our shul we've been explaining that the midaraisa, a woman is only tamei when she has a hagasha. So why don't we apply the concept of suffik drabanan lekula and take the more lenient interpretation versus taking the stricter interpretation? So I saw a number of very fundamental answers to this question. One answer I saw to this question is that Chazal that don't apply here the concept of suffik drabanan lekula. So we only apply that concept when the subject being discussed is not a subject that's a deraisa. But the subject of Hilchas Nida are obviously a subject deraisa. So even though this specific situation may be a drabanan issue, but it's still Hilchas Nida is a deraisa, and therefore we can't use the concept of suffik drabanan lekula. Another teretz that I saw is that when do we say suffik drabanan lekula? That when we have a machloikus, so should we paskin like the machmer, or should we paskin like the mekel? So suffik drabanan lekula tells us that if it's a drabanan issue, we should paskin like the more lenient opinion. But we can't apply the concept of suffik drabanan lekula to use it to interpret an opinion. In other words, in our Gemara, we're not sure what is the opinion of Rav Doisa. We're not sure what is the opinion of the Rabbanan. To apply the concept of suffik drabanan lekula and give and interpret their opinion in a more lenient fashion is not the definition of suffik drabanan lekula. Another teretz is that we're going to Mitzvashem learn that there is a question. We're going to Mitzvashem learn that there's a question of vestis drabanan or vestis deraisa. The whole issue that we've been discussing, that a woman is expected or not expected to see dam at a certain time, that's a question dependent on how we look at vestis. So if indeed we hold the vestis deraisa, that the concept of vestis is a concept deraisa, so then we could take a lenient opinion regarding vestis, because indeed we could rely on saying that we didn't expect the dam to come. But if on the other hand, the opinion of vestis, if we hold vestis to Rabbanon, so vestis are not such a strong halakha concept that we could use it to take this lenient approach and say that a woman who has a vestit should only be dayashata. So we just learned in the braisa, honey, shemtaru shalai b'shas vesta, b'tam mesles, that if she saw dam, not at the time expected to see dam, she's tamei retroactively for 24 hours. Tam the Gemara. Tam the Ishiye Shlevest. So the Braisa has distinguished by a woman who has a vest, who the Pligi Rabbanim, that's where there is a distinction between Kisma L'Riyasa, between her Kesem and her Riyah. That if she finds a Kesem, she's Tamei retroactively. If there's a Riyah, it's Dayashata. Which seems to be that we began our shiur today with Rabbi Lezer identifying four women who are always dayishatan. The halacha will be by those four women. We don't distinguish, we don't differentiate between the kesem and the riyah. All other women, such a the halacha will be kismet that Chazal said such women. By them, the halacha is dayin shatan. By them, kisma kriyosam. The kesem and the riyah will be treated the same way. Ask Marmani, whose opinion is this? Says the Gemara, Rav Chanina ben Tignasi. It represents the opinion of Rav Chanina ben Tignas. Then Rav Yehuda Mishmu Mishum Rav Chanina ben Tignas. Kara noshim kisma tamme lefreya. By a woman who has a kesem, the tasem is tamme retroactive until we can be sure that she was tahar. However, the Nashim Shamr Chacham Dai is Shatan. But regarding these four women, the Psul, the Menekes, the Zakena, by them, Kisma Kriyasam, the Kesem is treated like a Riyah, and it's Dai is Shatan. They're only Tamei moving forward, not moving backwards. And now he says another leniency. Chutz Mitinaiki Shlaigi is Mana Lirois, a girl whose time to see has not yet come. Shafil Sadinishallah, Muluchlachem Badam, that even if a linen is soiled with dam, so she has a very serious kesem. By such a woman, ein chashish shelah, and she's not tamei at all. A number of interesting questions in understanding this halacha. One is, here the Brice is saying that if we have, Rav Chanina Mantignas is saying, that if we have a girl who's not yet of time to see dam, so even if her linen is soiled with dam, she's tahor. What would be the halacha, ask the Mefarshim, the Shach discusses this, other Paiskim discuss it, if it's not on her linen, but if there's a kesem actually on her body, will Rav Chanina ben Tigmas still take this lenient approach? Or if it's actually on her body, he'll be more stringent? Seems to be a machloikis. Some, the Shach seems to learn that even if it's on her body, we could be lenient. There are others that say that this leniency is strictly to her undergarments, to her linen, but not what's found on her body. Furthermore, a very, very fundamental machloikis, which some Mefarshim connect to the machloikis that we just mentioned, in fact, is here we have a very interesting situation. We have this woman who had this kesem, and because she's a woman, shlohigiyas mana liroys, that she's not yet of age to see dam, we say we take a very lenient approach. But ask the Mefarshim, this that we take, this very lenient approach, is that only in a situation where we have a way of explaining this kesem? But when there's no way of being able to explain this kesem, even Rav Chanina Mantignas will be stripped, because the dam came from somewhere, or is this lenient a position to be applied even in a case, is it to be applied even in a case where we have no other explanation where this kesem come from? Some say that even if we have no other way of explaining where the kesem came from, we could be lenient. Others say that under those circumstances, even by such a woman, Rav Chanina ben Tignas will be machmer. Ask the Gemara, Umi Yisrael Rav Chanina kesem klal, does Rav Chanina at all say that such women are subject to hilchus ksamim? For Tanya, kol anoshim kismin tamei, by all women who have a kesem, they are tamei. Anoshim shamer chacham daim shatan, regarding these four women, their kismin tamei, their kesem is tamei, say the rabbanim. Rav Chanina ben Tignas omer, anoshim shamer chacham daim shatan, ein lahem kesem. So doesn't that seem to mean that they're not subject to hilchus ksamim at all? My lav ein lahem kesem klal, that they're not subject to hilchus ksamim at all, not just that they're not subject to them retroactively. So the Gemara loy, that's not what Rav Chanina ben Tignas means to say. What he means to say is ein lahem kesem afreya, av yesh lahem kesem kanal haba. Mechlal, which seems to indicate that the Tanakama, who is the more stringent opinion, is of the opinion the Tanakama sover afil mafreya, that they're subject to ksamim even retroactively. Whose opinion does that represent? Says the Gemara, in absolutely, it represents the opinion of Rameya. The Rameya is machmer, says the Gemara, al gabi ksamim. The Rameya is machmer by ksamim. There's two ways of understanding what does this mean. The Rameya is machmer by ksamim. One pshat, as Rashi seems to learn, is the Rameya treats ksamim even more stringently than it treats a riya. That, and as we explained at the beginning of the shir, because a riya without a hargosha is not a riya, and a riya means that the dam was just recently seen. A kesem could be even dried on blood, and that's why Rameya not only is machma by ksamim, but he's more machma by ksamim than he is by riya. Others explain that what the Gemara means, Taisha seems to explain that what the Gemara means here, Rameya is machma by ksamim, that means Rameya is more machmer than other tanoim. That's what the Gemara means to say. The Rameya is the opinion that has a very strict interpretation or very strict approach towards ksamim. The Tanya, as the Brice indeed says, Kol Anoshim Kismin Tamim Afreya, V'Noshim Shamer Chacham Dayin Shatan Kismin Tamim Afreya. They're not only does the Meir hold that a kesem is tummy retroactively? But even by these four women, does he say so? Devar Meir. The women that Chazal said dying shatan, by such women kismen kriyasam, the halacha, we treat the kesems like we treat a riyah, that's only tamei moving forward, not moving backwards. The tonight yishigi is ma'al lirois, and if the girl is already a girl whose time to see damas come, she too yesh la kesem is subject to the halachas of kesamim. The shalaygi is mana lirois, but if she's such a young girl that she's younger than the age that she is to have a discharge, elam kesem is not subject to hilchus ksamim at all, as we just discussed a few moments ago. Ve'masahigi is mana lirois. At what point is she considered a girl of age that dam comes? Mishigei me'enurim, when she is a nara. Machlokes v'shaynim. What does this mean? Doesn't mean that if she has any of the simonim of naris, that means whether she's 12 years old or whether she brought shtei saris, she's already considered of age to be considered higil amein urim. Well, other rishonim say that no, only when she brought shtei saris and is also 12 years old, then and only then is she subject to hilchus ksamim. In the absence of both simonim, she is not yet subject to hilchus ksamim. We learned in the Mishnah, if a woman, before and after having relations with her husband, examined herself, that is considered an examination, that we know that according to the opinion of the Chachamim, a woman, and actually according to the Chachamim and according to Hillel, such a woman is only tamei after, from the time after the examination. Comments the Gemara, Amar Yehuda on the Shmuel, Eich lefnei tashmish en remat pekida. What kind of an examination is considered a valid examination? Only an examination before, after tashmish. But the examination before tashmish is not considered a valid bedika, that it should take away a question of her being tamei. My tamei, what's the reason? Amrav ketina, betarch shmehu melebeisa. Because she is in a rush to have tashmish. Ask the Gemara, whom the base might have it. Why should that make a difference that she wants to have tashmish? Answers the Gemara, metarchim whom the base, because she's thinking and preparing herself for tashmish. Any machneses lechurim v'stukim. She doesn't do a proper bedika, and therefore, since she doesn't do a proper bedika, the halacha is that it's not considered a valid bedika to ascertain that she's tahar. So the simple pshat in the Gemara, and this is very relevant la'aloch l'maisa, is that to be considered a valid bedika, it has to be a bedika b'chur v'sadeikim, it has to be a very serious bedika, and before the tashmish, a woman isn't doing such a serious bedika, and therefore it cannot be relied on. That's, and therefore from here we would learn, say many Rishonim, that a bedika is only considered a valid bedika if it was done bechurim v'sadaitim. That's the opinion of the Rizit. Other Rishonim, however, disagree. And there you say that the Gemara here is not coming to teach us that only a bedika bechurim v'sadaitim is considered a valid bedika. And therefore this woman, before her tashmish, since she's anxious to do the tashmish, does not do a bedika b'chorim v'sadeikim, and therefore the bedika is not considered a valid bedika. Rather, they paskin that a bedika is considered a valid bedika even without chorim v'sadeikim. And as machlokes, what do they hold? Some say that you never have to have, some rishonim say that you never have to have a bedika chorim v'sadeikim, only when it's a subject of taharis is a bedika of chorim v'sadeikim required. Others say that, and this is the halacha, that by hefset tara, you have to have, this opinion of the Ramban, you have to have churim v'sadeikim. Other times you do not. What the Gemara means to say here is that since the woman is preparing herself for tashmish and she's anxious to have tashmish, she doesn't do a proper bedika at all. But not to say that the only type of valid bedika is churim v'sedekim. There's an interesting machlokes achronim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, the bedika of before tashmish is not considered a valid bedika. The question is, what does that mean that's not considered a valid bedika? Some explain that if she did a bedika, that she did bedika at the beginning of the night or the beginning of the morning, and then did another bedika during the day before tashmish or during the night before tashmish, the halacha will be that we have to go back to the first bedika. But some, what will be the halacha regarding the 24 hours? Will this, will Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul say his same halacha, that this bedika is considered an invalid bedika, and if she didn't do a bedika in the morning, or she didn't do a bedika at the beginning of the night, she'll have to go back 24 hours, or he's not speaking regarding that halacha as well. Pashpshat, he's speaking regarding all halachas, that we disregard this bedika. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Hamishameshes Be'edim, a woman who does bedika with Edim Lashon Rabim, Hareza Bekida. So, ask the Gemara, my love, doesn't the Mishnah mean to say, Chalafnei Tashmish, Chalacha Tashmish? The Mishnah by saying the word Edim Lashon Rabim seems to be speaking about the bedika before Tashmish and after Tashmish, and the Mishnah is teaching us that the bedika, either of those bedikas, are considered a valid bedika to determine that she was tahor, says Marloi. The bedikas that are referring to are idi v'idi lacha tashmish, only to bedika after tashmish. Vechalah. So why does the Mishnah use a lashon rabbin? Because it's speaking about her examination and his examination. Kritnan derech b'nos Yisrael mishamshes b'shnei edim. Women have two examination cloths. Echalah v'echalah. So the way the Gemara is learning now is as follows. The woman, we're only speaking about the bedika of after Tashmish, and the Mishnah is teaching us that in the bedika of after, that in the bedika of after Tashmish, that's the only bedika that can determine that she's indeed tahor. And as the Mefarshim explained, and it's only her bedika that can make that determination. So the way we're going to understand the words of the Mishnah, because there's an inherent difficulty with our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hamishemeshes be'edim." Loshen Rabim, Hareza Kbekida, a Loshen Yachid. So the way the Mishnah is to be understood is where Meshameshes Be'edim refers to his examination cloth and her examination cloth of after the Bedika. And here we're saying Hareza Bekida, her examination cloth after the Tashmish will be considered a valid Bedika. But before Tashmish, it's never a Bedika, never considered a valid Bedika. And after Tashmish, it's only her bedika that's a valid bedika, not his. Ramosha in the Tshuva Sigris Moshe, based on this Gemara, says we see that you could do it. Here clearly the Gemara is teaching us that a bedika after Tashmish is done carefully. Again, obviously, because there's no longer a pressure to do Tashmish. Says Ramosha, and here we see that you could do a very serious bedika after Tashmish, the churim v'sadekim, and that would not be considered hashchos hazeh. Ask the Gemara, hi mai. So the Gemara questions this explanation of the Mishnah. Could Ibrahim at the Shlom Echad l'fnei Tashmish, Echad l'achna Tashmish, if we're going to say that the Mishnah by saying, speaking about the two bedikas, means about a bedika that took place before Tashmish, and a bedika after Tashmish, so itzrich, we could understand the Mishnah very well. We would have thought that the bedika before Tashmish should not be considered a valid bedika. That's why our Mishnah teach us that it is considered a valid bedika. Eli Amrit, if we're going to say that our Mishnah is only speaking about the bedikas of La'acha Tashmish, that our Mishnah is only saying that the bedika of after Tashmish is considered a serious bedika. Says the Gemara, Pshita, obviously, then you don't have the svara of Mahuma Labesa. Answer the Gemara, there is a chiddush in the Mishnah. Madatema, we would think that even the bedika after Tashmish ought not to be considered a serious bedika. Because maybe what happened was Shematira tipastamka chadam, but the chapana shekva zera. The bedika after tashmish, even though you don't have the concern of pressure, there's another consideration. Maybe there was some dam, but it was covered by shekva zera. That's why our Mishnah needs to teach us that we need not to be concerned about that. Vibay Seima, another way of understanding the Mishnah is as follows. The Mishnah is coming to teach us Shnei Bedikas Atzuchu Rabbonim. Chal Lefnei Tishmish V'chal La'acha Tashmish. The Kiktani Reza B'kida La'acha Tashmish. In other words, as far as the halachas that we're learning, only Bedika that will be considered a valid Bedika is the Bedika after Tashmish. The Mishnah is also teaching us Agav Orcha, another halacha, and that is that a Bedika should be take place before Tashmish. But not that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that that will be considered a valid Bedika to determine that she's certainly tar. That we can't learn. That we can't say because Mahuma Labesa. It's only teaching us that she should do a Bedika before Tashmish. Ask the Gemara, but look at the wording of the Mishnah. For Hamashameshes Ketani. Hamashameshes seems to indicate that it's not obligated if she did it. Hamashameshes. Says the Gemara, Tani. The gears of the Mishnah should not be Hamashameshes. The gears of the Mishnah should be Umishameshes. That a woman who does Tashmish should have a Bedika both before and after the Tashmish. So we learn Matas Aidei Matzlas. That if there was a Bedika done at the time of Tashmish, it takes away the need to wait 24 hours, and it takes away the need to wait, to consider, it takes away the din of saying that she was Tamei for the last 24 hours, and it takes away the din that she's Tamei from the last Bedika. Ask the Gemara, Hashtam Eisim Eisim Amatis, if we're considering it a valid Bedika, whether both Bedikas, or only the Bedika after the Tashmish, and therefore she doesn't have to wait 24 hours, she's not Tamei 24 hours actively, Bekidim Abayim, and the Rishonim have two ways of explaining this tomorrow's question. One, the simple way is as follows. 24 hours is the longer time period than from the last Bedika. So if this Bedika of Tashmish is so strong that it has the ability to change, to tell us that we don't have to wait a whole 24 hours, so from the last Bedika, which is by definition a shorter amount of time, it certainly has that ability. That's one way of explaining. Another way of explaining is as follows, and this goes back to a svara that we said in yesterday's shiur. 24 hours, as we learned in the previous shiur, is really an arbitrary, artificial number. A pekida is not an arbitrary number, it's a svara. So if it has the ability to say that we don't have to follow that arbitrary number, so certainly it has the ability to take away from a Bedika, because this itself is a Bedika. So why do I have to teach it to us? Answers the Gemara, Maritema, maybe Chazal were lenient with the Bedika around the Tashmish. Choshe Rabbanan said the Taras. Because if it's so machmer, and make a tummy for the last 24 hours, so anything that she touched in those 24 hours will be tamei. And Chazal were concerned about making so much food tamei. It's a hefsid. Am b'kida m'kida. That means, let's say she did Tashmish in the middle of the night. And she did a Bedika at the beginning of the night. So we're not talking about such a serious time period. Loi, maybe Chazal should say she should be tamei back to the Bedika at the beginning of the night. And not rely for the reasons given in today's shiur. Not rely on the Bedika that took place at the time of Tashmish. Kamash Malam, that's why our Mishnah has to teach us that we rely on the Bedika that happened at the time of Tashmish completely. So we learned in the Mishnah, Ketzadai Shata, the Mishnah said that if a woman, the Mishnah gave this example regarding the woman that we began our Shiva today, the woman who was a Veset Kavua, that by such a woman we say Dai Shata. So the Mishnah said, Ketza Dai Shata, Hosi Yeshevas Pamita, she was sitting on the bed, V'oska B'taharis, or Prisha V'rasa, and then she sees Dam, he Tameya, she is Tamei, V'hein Taharis. But the bed is Tahar. Says the Gemara, Ask the Gemara, Lamoi Lamisni, why must we speak about a case of Hoisi Yeshevus B'mita V'Asuk B'Taris, that she's sitting on the bed and being Osuk Taris? Listen, why don't we just say Hoisi B'Asuk B'Taris, that she was working with the Harris, or Parsha Rasa, and she saw Dam, that she is Tamei, but nothing else? Answers the Gemara, Hakam Ashkelon, the Mishnah wants to teach us another Chiddush. The Tama, because this woman is a woman who is a Zvesit Kavua, and as we learned at the beginning of Shir, such a woman is Dayashata. But a woman who's Tamei retroactively, Meisleis, not only is she Tamei, Mita Nami Mitanya, but even her bed is Tamei. Because as the Meroy Meisad explains, we would think that she is Tamei because Dam came out of her body, and Dam Nidus is Dam of Tumah. But the bed, which even though normally the Mishdev and Moshev, the bed or the chair that a Nida sits on, that a Zavah sits on, is Tameh. Here, we don't know for sure that Dam came out, or as we keep on always saying, there was no Hagosha. Maybe it ought not to be, they ought not to be Tameh. Teaches us the Mishnah, though, when there is Tumah Meisleis retroactively, not only does it apply to the person, but it even applies to her bed. Mesaila Laziri, Dam Laziri, Meisleisha Benida, Oysa Meshkev and Moshev, the Tam Adam Tam Begodim. Her bed, her clothing are all Tameh. Michti, ask the Gemara, Hai Mita Davishem Beidas Lishahu, Vachos Davishem Beidas Lishah Sveikatar. Going back to what we learned at the beginning of our Masechta, there is a rule. Savak Tameh Rishos HaYachid is Tameh, Savak Tameh Rishos HaRabim is Tahor. And as we explained, the source of that rule is Saita. So in order to apply that rule, we have to use Saita as a model. Now Saita is obviously an intelligent woman. So from there we learn that only in a situation where it's Yesh Beidas Lishol, where the question of Tumah is someone who we could have an intelligent conversation with, there Chazal said, Sofik Tumah is Tumah, Sofik Tumah Rishos HaYachid is Tumah. But let's think about this case. We're talking about a Sofik Tumah. We don't know when this woman began seeing the Dam. But we're talking about the bed. And the bed is a Dovah She'en Bo Das Lishon. So why are we being Machmer on the bed? Why does Ziri say that the bed will be Tameh? It should be a situation. Yes, it's a Sofik Tameh Rishos HaYachid, but it's a Sofik Tameh Rishos HaYachid on something She'en Bo Das Lishon. The bed ain't Bo Das Lishon. Answers the Gemara. Targum Ziri explains Ziri that our Mishnah is referring to the bed that Ziri says becomes Tameh is the bed Shechavrseh Noisus Oisavimita. She's being carried in the bed. The Havalayat Chavrseh, that the bed is considered an extension of the people, because they're being carried by the people, and the people are Yesh Beidas Lishon. But as the Rishonim, if it's talking that the bed is being carried by people, so then it's Rishos HaRabim, because once you have three people, it's already Rishos HaRabim. So some explain that this distinction between some Rishonim explain this distinction between Rishos HaYachid and Rishos HaRabim is only said by a Saita. Because by a Saita, as we learned earlier in Amasechta, by definition, a Saita can only become a Saita in Rosh HaSayachit. But by other types of Tumah, like Nida, where there is no Svara to differentiate between Rosh HaSayachit and Rosh HaSarabim, we don't differentiate between Rosh HaSayachit and Rosh HaSarabim. It's one Pshat that I saw. Another Pshat is that since all of the people that are carrying her, and the Gemara is very meduyik, are all women, since it's all women, when it's all women, then we don't say it's considered Rosh HaRabim. To be considered Rosh HaRabim, there has to be a combination of men and women. Now says the Gemara another teretz. The Hashtag Rabbi Yochanan, Sofik Tumah, Habor B'dei Adam. If it's a Sofik Tumah that came about through people, Sofik Tumah Habor B'dei Adam, Nisholan Alel, it's considered a Sofik Shesh Beidas Lisho, so we could say that it's a bed or a Keli Munach Agabakarka, it's considered Kamei Shesh Beidas Lisho. Since, according to Rabbi Yochanan, this concept only applies when the tumah and the cause of the tumah are things that don't have intelligence. Here, the bed indeed doesn't have intelligence, but the tumah comes from a person. So we don't have to give the teretz that she's being carried. Rather, the fact that the tumah emanates from a person, even though we're not talking about the person, we're talking about the bed, it's still enough to be considered yesh by das losha. Gufa, in fact, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan, Sofak tumah bo b'day Adam nishar alav. I feel the keli amunach agab karka, even if the question is about a vessel on the ground, it's still considered kamisha yesh by das losha. Ask the Gemara meisvei, Haisim esata b'tei lisoi, if somebody was putting on his talis, the taras for tumas betzidai, and the taras and the items that are tumay and tar near him, the taras for tumas lamal meroishai, or the tar and tumay items above his head, sofak naga sofak loy naga, and it's a question if he touched those items when he put on the talis or not. Some paiskim want to use this gemara to teach us how to do atifas atalis, how we're supposed to put on the talis, and they say that there have to be tzitzis in front and tzitzis in the back. Because if all the tzitzis are in front of you, you would have seen what's happening. Toha. So we have a question. In all these situations, we say that it's toha. Vim efshir elm kei naga. But if it's impassable, or as Tosfos says, not that it's completely impassable, but it's most likely that you touched it, then you're tamei. And in fact, the Paiskim want to say, based on this Tosfos' explanation of this Braisa, that from here in Halacha, something to be considered having happened doesn't have to be that it certainly happened. Even if it likely happened, that's already considered as if it happened. They want to apply it to the question, let's say somebody has a question if he benched, if he has a question if he davened, if he questioned if he said Saint Talamotar, or he said Saint Bracha, and all of these cases, that if it's most likely that he did something, that doesn't have the din of a suffix. But again, continues the Braisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Oimer Leshnei V'Shoina. Repeat what you did, and let's see what will happen, and that will be a way to determine if what happened now probably happened previously as well. Oimer Leshnei, to which the Chacham said to Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ein Shoina B'Taharas. That isn't considered a legitimate way, because just because it did or didn't happen this time is no indication to what happened previously. Now, ask the Gemara, why in this case does the Tanakhama say that if there's a suffix, yitar, because he's seemingly holding this way, because it's something that doesn't have intelligence, but the tumah emanates from a person. The tumah comes from a person, and therefore it should be considered tumay if this happened in Rosh Hashayachid. Answers the Gemara, Baminadim Hi. That price is not a question. The Tanah of Oishi of Rosh Hashayachid Sofik Tumay. Indeed, Rav Oishi inserts in that price that if such a question came up in Rosh Hashayachid, it would be tumay. Rosh Hashayachid, it would be tumay. So according to this Gemara, the only time, according to Rav Yochanan, we apply the concept of Einbay Das Lisho, it will only be in a case when both the object of the passable tumah and the cause of the tumah have no intelligence. What would be such an example? An example would be a dead sheretz which was found near a vessel. And we don't know if that sheretz touched the vessel. The sheretz has no intelligence and the vessel has no intelligence. But if it's a tumah that emanates from a person, since the person has intelligence, even though the question now is regarding a vessel, a bed, a talus, that don't have intelligence, that we will not say the concept of anybody das l'shem. Gufa, Amaziri, Meis la'eish shebenida, oisa mishka ma'ishim. So as we learned before, that when the Chacham hold that a woman who had the submission is tamei retroactively 24 hours, even her mishka v'moishim is tamei. Atame Adam and Atame Begodim. Any, ask the Gemara, the soul, the Osir Kiyosir, Vimir Bechazor, Osir Vais Masnissim Biyadoi, Mneis Lidr, Meis Leish Benidor, Moshkova, Mishkova, or Moshova Kamaga. her mishka v'moshav is treated like what she touches. My lav, ma maga, when it doesn't that mean that just like when what she touches, lo metama odom, af mishkava lo metama odom. If a nida touches a utensil, it becomes a rishonal tuma, which has the capacity to pass tuma to oichlem and mashkim, to food and drink, but not to other people or to other utensils that only can become tamei from an avatama. So Ziri, who says that her mishkav and moshav is considered full-fledged mishkav and moshav and nida, which does have the ability to be matama or the mekalim, could the mishkav and moshav and nida is a rishonal tama? Amar Rava, says the Gemara in defending Ziri, says Rava defending Zira, the Tisbara, is that what you think the Brisa means? Why don't we make the following kal v'chomer? Umat kli cheres hamukav tzomet persol. The halacha is if you have an earthenware keli that has on it a sealed cover, hanitzel b'oil hames. The Torah teaches us that if it has a cover on it, it doesn't become tamei from being in the oil of a mess. Yet the halacha is ein hanitzel b'meis sheish l'mido, that if a need to move such a keli, it will become tamei with tumas hesed. Mishkavas or moishiv she'en in tzom by oil hames. A bed that's in oil hames becomes tamei. Ein in a din. Certainly the halacha should be she'en in tzom hames leish shebenida. And certainly they become subject. So that's why, says Rav Ziri, is indeed correct. And the mishkav and moishiv of the nida, who Chacham said is tamei for the past 24 hours, is fully tamei. Fully tamei. Ask the Gemara, Vavime Bechazom Snitz Kamar, didn't he say a Braisa that it's Kamaga? Answers the Gemara, Eima Mishkova Umayshova. That what Avimi said was that during the 24 hours, touching her Mishkova Mayshev is Kamaga Atzma. It's like touching her herself. Ma Maga Atzma. If somebody touches a Nida, Metama Odom, Metama Begodim, that if somebody touches her, the halacha is that the person is Tamei, and then not only is he Tamei, but even the clothing that he's wearing become Tamei, Af Mishkava Umayshava, so too touching the Mishkav Umayshav, that this woman sat in the last 24 hours, Metama Odom, Metama Begodim. Not only will the person sitting on those Mishkav and Moshav become Tamei, but even the clothing that he's wearing will also be Tamei, and therefore, in anything, the Braisa Avimi corroborates what Ziri says, that the Tumah that Chazal said on this 24 hours, this Meisleis Tumah, is a very serious Tumah. The woman is considered a full-fledged Tumah Nida. Whoever touched her is Tamei, and the clothing that he's wearing is Tamei. And similarly, anything that she sat on is considered the Mishkav and Moshav Nida, and that any person that sat on that Mishkav and Moshav is Tamei, and not only is he Tamei, but even the clothing that he wore at that time are also Tamei.